May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts and minds be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen.
Amen.
Please be seated. So I confess I've never had a big repertoire of jokes, but I have a joke for you all today. And it goes something like this. What did the Buddhist say to the hot dog vendor? What did the Buddhist say to the hot dog vendor? Does anyone know this one? No. Well, he said, make me one with everything. Get it? Some of you get it. So I'll actually come back to that in the context of this gospel passage we've heard. Today is the final Sunday in the Easter season, and of course, this is the time when we commemorate and celebrate the presence of the resurrected Jesus with his disciples. And we think long and hard about this core truth of our tradition, that life is good and inextinguishable. That's really what Easter is all about. But Jesus is about to leave his disciples again for the second time. He's been with them in a very immediate way, but now he's going to leave again. And so we hear over the course of several Sundays what Jesus spoke to the disciples during the Last Supper. And it's called the Farewell Discourse, and it goes on for a lot of chapters, and it's pretty long, as that passage was long. And at the end, Jesus prays for his disciples. And scholars call the passage we just heard Jesus' high priestly prayer, because it's an intercession for his disciples before his act of self-sacrifice on their behalf. And he prays for a lot of things, but what I think the heart of the prayer is that line that they all may be one as we are one. And as long as that passage was, we actually didn't hear it in its entirety, but Jesus repeats that same prayer, that they all may be one, as he and the Father are one, four times, that they all may be one as he and the Father are one. So what's so great about oneness? Like, what's it mean? What's the big deal? And why is it important? So I would ask each of you, perhaps, to think about the moments in your life when you have been happiest, and the moments in your life when maybe you were unhappiest. And what, if anything, characterizes those moments? Is anyone willing to be a volunteer to give a, you know, one of the happiest moments? When I've asked this question before, there are some common moments which people volunteer. Marion, yes.
It's Mother's Day, for crying out loud.
Yes.
Giving birth,
yes. What's another moment of great happiness?
Marriage,
yes. Those are biggies. Does anyone want to volunteer a moment of great sadness? Loss of a loved one, yes.
Losing
your mother, the loss of your mother. So how can we analyze the difference between these very happy moments and the very sad moments? I would say that in the very happy moments, there's a sense of connection and oneness with another person, with one's family, with a community. And in the sad moments, there's a sense of loss, often isolation and grief, and being disconnected, right? Connection is a very popular word in our culture these days. We use it, you know, for so many things, I think, in our computer age, to be connected versus being disconnected. That's the real difference between some of the happiest moments and the saddest moments. So when Jesus is praying that we all may be one, it's this profound sense of connection. And yes, today is Mother's Day, and if we reflect on our childhoods, right? And what we know from psychology is that babies, they don't know the difference between themselves and their mothers and the rest of the world. They think that they are one with everything. And it is this state of incredible bliss. And then as we grow older, we learn, no, I'm not the same as mommy. I'm not the same as daddy. I'm not the same as this wooden chair here. I'm different. And the process of growth is one of differentiation. And that's a necessary step in our maturity, right? But at the same time, it comes with a sense of loss and separateness that's often painful. And there are many theologians who say, I think Father Michael may have said this in a sermon a couple weeks ago, that in fact the whole story, the whole arc of the biblical witness is this return to Eden, right? We at one time experienced this unity, and somehow that's shattered, and the whole quest is to get back. And how do we do it? How do we get back? And so the way that we get back is somehow by this experience of oneness and unity. So Mother's Day, I think, reminds us of that unity that we felt with our mothers. You know, I have on my phone, on my iPhone, the picture. I have a picture of myself with my mother from 1975, I think, and I am in these little blue overalls, and we're in the backyard, and I'm clutching her leg, and there's just this smile of self-giving glee on my face. And there's a reason I have that on my phone, because that reminds me of this state of happiness that somewhere is in the back of my mind, and I want to hold on to that, and that's how I want my life to be. So I think we all experience that. I think another one is, frankly, erotic love. I mean, I think that the reason why God created human sexuality is so that we have this experience of mutual pleasure and self-offering with another human being. I remember when I was living in Puerto Rico, when I was in my early 20s and I was first in love, and there was this Italian singer, her name was Laura Pausini, and she was really, really popular, and all of her songs were translated into Spanish. And I was driving across the island of Puerto Rico blaring this song with this one line. And in Spanish, it says, Te miro y me reflejo en ti. I look at you and I am reflected in you. And I think we all have that experience, especially in love with another person, where we lose ourselves in that person. We see ourselves in that person and we can't tell who's who. And it's a powerful, powerful experience, and we all yearn for it. And so what I think the religious journey, the spiritual journey is about, is experiencing that feeling of oneness, not just in your early childhood, not just in that state of erotic or sexual union, but all the time. Imagine if all the time you had that sense of bliss because you felt at one with your family, with your community, with the planet Earth, with the cosmos. That's really what God wants for our lives. That's the spiritual journey. And that's what Jesus is praying for us today. I think that St. Paul said it best when he said, it is not I who live, but Christ who lives in me. Because when you fall in love with God, when you fall so in love that you can't tell the difference, that is when you become love itself. So that, my friends, is Jesus' prayer for us during this Eastertide and always. In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen.